Well, they blew up ugly chickens in Bonanza last night. Now they burned down the jobs board too. Down at the showdown, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them merchant boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from CBS, and Jonathan Karsh can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble by the microwave, and the town council's hanging on by the skin of their teeth. Well, now everyone cries, baby, that's a fact. But everyone that cries chugs their root beer back. Put your gold star on, show bandana pretty, and meet me at Kid Nation in Bonanza City.
Hi, my name is Morgan. I am 25. I am currently living in Los Angeles, waiting until we can yet again perform in Hamilton across the street. So I'm very excited about that.
Whoa, wait, you're in Hamilton?
At the Penn Station.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. Well, I mean, people are obviously big fans. This is like the Hamilton week.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, yeah, you guys timed it out perfectly because it's celebrating like the Hamill film, if you will, and then just kind of reconnecting with all of my Hamilton family who I haven't seen in so long because of COVID. So it's been the Hamilton weekend.
Whoa. So who are you in Hamilton?
So I am what's called Woman Five. I'm in the ensemble, and I understudy all three Skylar sisters.
Oh.
So yeah.
I was gonna make like an inappropriate COVID joke right there, but I'm gonna ignore that. I'm gonna knock my brain. I need to communicate with humans again outside of.
Oh my gosh, tell me, it's like exhausting though these days, don't you think? Like as soon as you start to like socialize, I'm really scared once the world goes back to normal, because then okay. I'm gonna have to like regain that stamina in talking to other humans.
Yeah, these Zoom calls with other Kid Nation people are the only Zoom calls I've enjoyed these last 4 months.
Oh my God, I'm so honored. I feel like I've been on a lot of Zoom calls myself, so I feel that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We wanted to jump right in to a question we had about the religion episode.
Okay.
Because you played such a big role in it. You really like took control of what seemed like kind of like a tense situation, at least the way it was portrayed. I was wondering if you could kind of go back, you know, 15 years or whatever, and give us some insight on what exactly was going down and what led you to really take charge of this situation with this non-denominational service you led.
Well, I will say I definitely remember, it might have been that same morning where they brought out all like the religious texts, and they like wanted us to like read each other's like books of religion and get to know each other's like faith practices and different things like that. And that went completely awry, because, you know, like even 12-year-olds know, like, you know, whatever environment they grow up in, typically you're conditioned to believe one thing or another or nothing. And so I think everybody was kind of like, well, I don't really want to, you know, jump away from what I'm used to. And I just, in my heart of hearts, did not feel that that was the way to go about it. Like, you know, I even at 12, I was like, I think that I can see where the producers' heads were at, but like, I don't think that was the way. Cause like, can you imagine doing that with adults? And so I think it was that same night. It was actually Easter, like on Easter Sunday, that this happened. And I always like have to credit Hunter on the show, because I genuinely was not like going to start that like non-denominational just general service. I was on my way to bed. Like, I don't think I've ever said that publicly, where I'm, you know, admitting to the fact that I really had no plans of doing that. I'm sure like in the last interview you guys had with Laurel, she told you about like the involvement of the producers, and they encouraged me to like get the town together for like, you know, one last kumbaya essentially, like that night on Easter night, I guess. And I was like really hesitant about it, because I was like, why is this my job all of a sudden? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I want to go to sleep. I'm really sad. It's my first time away from home on this holiday that I'm used to celebrating with my fam. But you know, I eventually like gave in and went to all the different bunks and, you know, just encouraged people to come chill around a fire for a second, say a few words if they wanted. But Hunter like really led the whole thing. Oh, and so I have to give him the credit for that service. I hate that like that was what was attributed to my episode, because I was like, I don't know, but that didn't really feel like entirely my doing. So
that's funny you say that, because I was rewatching some of it earlier today and I didn't remember this the first couple times I watched it. But yeah, Hunter goes, should we invite Zach to say a Jewish prayer? And I was like, oh yeah.
I'm like, yes, let's absolutely like it was all like he organized the whole thing. So I was like, you know what? I hate that, you know, they were crediting me with that entire service, because I was just I was the person inviting them, and then he led it, because, you know, as I said before, I was like, I was ready to go to bed. I was sad.
Wow. So like this whole time where we're like, okay, baby Morgan was definitely like spiritual influencer amongst the children. It was like Hunter could be this like goop wellness.
We were so close too. We're still pretty close. But we were really close on the show. And I just remember, you know, kind of like, begging him, like, help me put this together, because I just didn't, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, at 12, I didn't know how to, like, you know, in a way, gather the whole community to celebrate, you know, one like thing, which is hard because it's the thing, it's the like whatever deity you like worship, or you know, all the things. I just felt like it was a lot to ask of like children, a child myself.
A little bit.
The religious episode definitely. Because it's kind of early, it's like the fourth episode, mm-hmm. I think. It's definitely mm-hmm. like an early, like, we like dive headfirst into like religion, politics, all that stuff, like pretty early from the jump. No, but that's interesting, because I think that was your gold star episode too, if I'm not mistaken. So now, now I'm piecing things too of like producers maybe wanting you to lead because maybe there was some inkling that you'll be the gold star child of that day.
For sure.
Probably, right?
For sure. I mean, I was told like on the third episode is when I was actually supposed to be awarded the star, but then like it got like they ended up, you know, reconfiguring their options and they went with Mallory. And then I think the next episode is when the producer started to be like, let's like get a lot of footage of Morgan so we have enough for her episode. So reality TV for you.
Yeah.
At least Hunter did get his own gold star later on, so there wasn't.
I know.
Hunter was really laying it all out there every episode, and it was just like, not your time, dude. And then finally.
I know, and he was one of the few kids I feel like that consistently worked before he won the star and after he won the star. Like he was just like a good human, you know.
Well, he had that hard working dad that we later met.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm just playing. When he made that joke about the rent,
and your dad, and like your, I feel like those were like some of like the big key moments. Maybe we saw with you was like this big religion episode, which is gold star numero uno, and then the bigger gold star at the end with your dad. What was it like? I guess having that, like, what was the reality of your dad visiting? Because I feel like he got a lot of airtime on that end episode. Did that feel true to life for him, or was he like, what are you guys doing out here? Or I guess, yeah, I'm curious your parents' reception of being on the show and then watching the show later and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I don't think we anticipated how much airtime my dad would get, you know, because like you see my parents a lot in that last episode. And I feel like in my airtime, I think kind of piddled out after I won the gold star a little bit. Like I just wasn't featured as often. So it was like hilarious to me that my parents were super mega featured. But it's so true, especially with my dad. Like my mom's like, you know, more soft spoken, and but she's also the kindest human being. And so is my dad, but he's like loud, very extroverted. I think it was just they were both so hyped to be there and like see what I had like been through for the past 40 days, because there was like a lot of hearsay, and they signed a contract with some details, but like they didn't know exactly what I was enduring like for the 40 days I was out of contact with them. So it felt right that dad had a lot of screen time, to be honest. So
what did they think when you were showing them around town? Were they disgusted, or were they just like, what, why did we allow her to go? Or were they just like, oh, this is cool, we got $70,000.
True. I think my mom, I love that they like showed on air, like the when I showed them my sleeping bag and where I had been, you know, staying for 40 days, because it's true, it was dusty as all heck and like and gross. We like had a rat problem, I believe, at one point, like in the like adjacent bunk. It was a lot, and I think my mom was a bit horrified. My dad, I think, you know, to some degree was too, but I think he was just finding it funny, like more funny than anything else. Right. Yeah, it was, I vividly remember showing them around Bonanza because I was so excited to, yeah, that they, because we didn't know for sure if our parents, you know, would show up to like where we were filming. But I was so glad that I could share that with them, because I'm like, I can't describe to you like what we've been through unless you see some of it. And even then, you know, it's indescribable.
Yeah, I mean, there's that great moment where your dad and Greg have this really like mature conversation, which is the first time we've seen Greg acting mature the whole time. On the drive back, were you like, Dad, let me tell you a little few things about Greg? or what after you saw that, what did you think?
I will say, I had a better relationship with Greg than I think a lot of the kids did. Like especially like at the start, I was 12, he was 15. I was totally crushing on Greg when I first started the show. Of course, then I like got to know Greg a little bit, and I was like, oh, okay. So but he was just like the big kid, and like I admired like older kids, that, you know, being 12. But then I like, you know, I think I was more interested in fostering a friendship with him than anything else, which we totally did. So a lot of what he said was not untrue to my dad. I will say Greg was a pro at, you know, having a certain rapport with adults, mm-hmm, and then, you know, kind of turning that off when he was around all of us, because he was like the oldest. And but he, I mean, I think, you know, of course the show shines light completely on the negative aspects of Greg when he was 15, but you know, we had a lot of quiet nice moments, so I was like, yeah, Dad, like you'll see probably a lot of jerky moments, but he's cool, like he's fine.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess like on TV shows, you're not really gonna show people like sitting around like reading books and like having like kind conversation. I know we've talked to a few former kids about, mm-hmm, like the casting process, which I know, you know, it's not, I'm assuming, were you an actor kid as a kid, or like how was the casting process for you? Because I know some kids were plucked from the acting background, some the homeschool route, and some like random rodeo children or whatever, you know, very random, but makes sense, or like the spelling bee kids or what have you. Yeah, I'm curious, where were you plucked from?
I really don't know. I think it was my theater background, because I worked professionally in theater when I was little. I, you know, did a few like dinner theaters around my local like Indianapolis, Indiana like area. And so I guess that's where they found my name. I actually haven't had that confirmed yet. But they actually called my middle school to get in touch with me, and then they called my parents. And so it was like, I was used to kind of like audition processes like that, but I had never been through one for like a reality TV show where they genuinely just wanted to get to know me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you know, I kind of went into it thinking like, oh, like great, I've like auditioned for TV film and, you know, like for the stage. And so like, I guess I'll know what I'm doing. So then when they were asking me to like be me, you know, that was kind of a first. So my acting background didn't really help with the whole audition process.
Well, that's it. So they specifically called your school for you, like very like headhunted for the role, if you will.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's nice to know that schools aren't just giving away information to TV shows.
Right? Yeah. I was like, this is a bit creepy, is it not? Like, they know where I go to middle school, and like they pulled me out of class, and of course, like I was totally, you know, a teacher's pet at that point. So when they like said to me in the middle of like, I think I was in health class, like you're like the principal wants to see you, that's horrifying.
Yeah,
just like, what did I do? And then you hear CBS is trying to get in contact with you, which is even more horrifying to like, wow, to some degree. But yeah,
that's kind of,
I have no idea.
It's very, I mean, I guess old school casting, you don't have like Instagrams to stalk, so you're just,
that's true,
you're sitting at the school play like being like, who's that kid? They got something.
I still don't know. I think I'm Facebook friends with a couple of the producers still, and I like have yet to reach out to them and be like, how did you find me? Because I remember I asked one of the producers a year later, and she refused to tell me. So wow. secrets, like, all right. But I was just glad to be there.
Yeah.
After Kid Nation was done and you went back to your middle school, what was the response like? Did you have a bad time, or was it good?
It was actually really good. I actually only interacted with like 30 kids in my middle school because I was in I totally disagree with this naming of the program, but like the gifted and talented program. I don't know if you guys had or like high ability or whatever it is.
I was highly disagree with their summation of me.
I think yes.
And I was in the norm core idiot kids. And we were like, you know what?
No.
Kids are that gifted. Really. No, I'm just kidding.
It sets kids up for failure. I hate that. Well, but anyways.
We had the same thing in our school. I went to a Catholic school. So that's like, oh. You know, they can do whatever they want pretty much because it's private. And they had people in like one program that was called like Accelerated and one that was called like Resource, which was like you just needed.
What?
And that might be people like dyslexia. Like it was so far ranging, but when you tell someone you're accelerated or you're a resource, and then these middle kids, we're not even going to label you, you're just kind of in like the middle flow. It does set up kids for this preconceived notion, right? Of like, well, I'm this, so I'm going to perform like this. Like it doesn't.
Absolutely.
But that's a whole other podcast of education. And,
I mean, I was put in highly gifted classes based on a couple tests I did in first grade, which is maybe the worst. They classify children other than, let's say, making them do showdowns and...
True. Honestly, wouldn't the world be run so differently if we were all, like, if we're going off of the system of showdowns versus, you know, a few tests that put you in a gifted program?
We really need to know your presidents in order to be in the...
Yeah. Or what came first, the phonograph or the vinyl record, you know?
Oh, my God. Guys, like, I struggled. Going into those showdowns, man, like, I had little to no knowledge about presidents, truth be told, and same goes for the order of like technological like advances. Like I just really I'm like, thank God I'm not in charge of the show.
Physical media recording, like what are we doing?
yeah, but I agreed. Another total other podcast, but I could go on with that.
And sorry, I don't know if I cut you off on this app, but yeah, I guess returning to school, you were like, did kids watch this? Like, were you like Morgan from Kid Nation at Indiana school, or like, yeah, how was like the energy of like returning to the non-Hollywood
it was really fun. Like my class at the time, they were so, I was really close with all of them, and because we spent all our time together, we were in every class together, and so I came back and it was nice to like feel like I was missed, and you know, and they had all these questions about what I've been doing, and of course I had signed my life away in a contract, so I was like, I can't disclose anything. So it was even more fun, like we, you know, transferred to seventh grade in the fall or something like that. And so we were all together again. So I could like experience the show with them. So we would have like viewing parties. And I remember I had one viewing party for one of the episodes where it was just, I like went to a like arcade or something with my class and we watched one of the episodes, which is like really fun and also very nerve wracking because like I had never seen it. So I was like, am I about to look crazy on this episode in front of all of my peers? Like, but it was, they were really great. And I remember, one of my friends from middle school brought this up the other day. But I didn't recall until they said it that I brought the big gold star with me to school. Like I literally put it in my backpack and like brought it. And my mom was just like, yeah, you can like take it with you and show it to them at school. Cause like it wasn't actual like gold. But you know, it was like a replica of what it might actually look like, the size of the gold. And so I had each of them like held it and like went around in class. And it was,
we had other kids great. Say that the gold star they received was actually
maybe the big way. One wasn't.
Oh yeah, maybe that's it.
Oh, did you?
Because
you got two, so the second one was worth its weight in gold. It'd be significantly
heavier.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was very heavy. This is terrible, but I think. If I know myself and my parents, we probably took the check over like the real investing in like the real gold.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it was just like, you know, a placeholder for.
Yes.
I don't know.
Because I believe Anjay revealed to us that Greg's parents were the only family that actually took the gold and it's worth it.
I bet.
Gold. So they might have like $100,000 gold star now. They haven't sold it.
In some like mine somewhere in the backyard in Nevada or something.
Oh my God. Oh, that must be great. That would be great for him. I hope he's doing well. I've not spoken to him since the show. So.
He seems to be the mystery. It seems like there's a few kids that are like the mystery kids out there that maybe kind of fell off social media or disappeared. That's actually a question I had of just, you mentioned that you were friends with Hunter. I'm curious like who you formed really close bonds with on the show, and then who have you fallen out of contact with who you would just love to have like one like coffee, like just like what have you been up to? Like where have you, what was college like? Where did you, are you married? Like I'm curious who you'd want to pick brains and also who were you besties with as well?
Yeah, oh, that's such a good question. I mean, on the show, Laurel and I were so close.
At Green Team, I mean, what can, you can't break that bond.
Right? Like, I mean, like I was close with all our girls, like our bunk, which is like crazy to think about, you know, a bunch of essentially 12-year-olds like stuck in one bunk for 40 days together. We didn't kill each other. We actually really liked each other. Like that was a really special experience. So I was really close with, you know, Kennedy, Savannah, Sophia, and Laurel. And I loved the boys on in our district. I loved them. I thought like Eric was so cool and could play the piano like nobody's business. And I'm sure still can on top of many other instruments. And
what a piano. I mean, we saw those flex.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And that was just the beginning of it. Like he was like so many kids. So many of those kids were ridiculously multi-talented and probably still are. Great. Let me think. I would.
Voice.
Yes. Let me think. I think I had like a generally like good rapport with like all of the kids. To be honest, like I tried to get to know all of them because we had a lot of time. Some days we literally like just were counting the specks of dirt on the ground. We just didn't like have anything to do. So I think that's when I would take opportunities to like try and chat with like the younger kids, even though they were just so independent already. They were like, were a bit standoffish. So I was like, okay, cool. Like you got your thing. You're good.
Yeah.
I was close with DK. Because I think we both found each other on that like actor level too. I'm trying to think of people outside of my own district. I think I like found like Ken and Mallory and Olivia, especially since we're all from Indiana. So I was like, oh, it was my people, like they like they we could talk about our home state.
Yeah,
Hoosier. Exactly. So I remember like talking to them a lot. I'm trying to think through the other girls. I kind of generally got to know everybody. I know Jared and I got rather close to during the show. Like I just close enough for him to be like, want to come to my bar mitzvah? And like three of us ended up going to bar mitzvah like 2 years after the show aired, which was so fun. Like it was just so amazing.
Did he have a bar mitzvah theme? And do you remember it? If so.
Absolutely. It was cinema themed. So it was like all these like classic movies.
Love it.
Like it was really awesome. Like it was just so cool. And like Guylin, Hunter, and myself were there.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's
amazing. I'm just seeing imagery.
I mean, Jared is one of those mystery kids that, you know, he's kind of hard to get a hold of. But I do
for
know
sure.
On Facebook, Guylin lists him as his brother. So they still have some.
Cute.
That's amazing. I'm not surprised at all by that. They were really close.
Oh my God. What I would give to hear Jared's Haftorah. I mean,
oh my gosh. It was, I mean, I had never been to a bar mitzvah before. So like I had not experienced any of that. And so to hear like for Jared to be my first was excellent. Like he was so wonderful.
I mean, I wish that was my first bar mitzvah. Like now, like, have you ever been to a bar mitzvah? I know. That's why I'm holding out for Jared still. Maybe I'll do a reunion bar mitzvah.
You gotta wait till my cousin's older.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah, I guess like, I know I asked like a lengthy friendship question, but I guess to follow up, like who would you love to maybe connect with now that it's been a while? Or like who are you curious about maybe like checking in on or being like, what? Where are you at? Like
I feel like on it's like so many of them, especially because like those who have gotten married, I just feel like I'm in such a different part of my life. Like, you know, like I love my boyfriend so much, but I don't think we're gonna get married anytime soon. And it's just because like we're not there. And to see like Randy and Blaine and like all these kids from the show, Greg, like they're all married and doing well. They might have children of their, like I think Greg has two kids. Like it's just wild to me.
Yeah.
So I would love to like pick their brains, but I think like at the top of my list is Sophia, because I went to stay with Sophia the summer after we filmed the show, because she lives like down by like Disney, and Disney is huge for me. And so I went, like it was like killing two birds with one stone. So like I got to go hang out with Sophia, meet her family, like get to know like her way of living, and then we went to the parks, and it was really great. And that was really the last time we spent extended time together when I was 13 years old. And so I've come to find out I'm in rehearsals for Hamilton in New York in this past February, and Laurel and I like kind of reconnected again, because like we've like fallen like gone back and forth kind of like over the years, And Laurel was living like in Jersey, and then I was living in Brooklyn for rehearsals and found out that Sophia was also there apparently at the same time I was. I don't know like her whereabouts now, but like I couldn't believe we were like in the same spot and probably could have reconnected. But yeah, it was, so it's, I'm really grateful for this resurfacing of Kid Nation, because it's giving me like a, you know, good excuse to like reach out and rekindle some relationships.
No, it is interesting how it seems to like surge and come back, because like I've been aware of Kid Nation like since it came out, watched it when it came out as like an old high schooler, I guess, or whatever I was, and then watching it, I showed him it like a year or so ago, and then we rewatched it to recap it and just like give a full take on it. And it really, like, people remember this show, and people like, I mean, I think that era of reality TV, it only could do that during its time with kids, right? Like, I think people would love to see these more like interesting, they're almost like psychological experiments, right?
For sure.
So I don't know if that's like ethical, but it's interesting.
It's very interesting. It's incredibly, like, I think, you know, of course, like looking back, and I rewatched the show with my boyfriend at the beginning of quarantine because he had never seen it. And it was the most fun I've had watching the show. Like, it, especially like with someone who had no idea of its existence really before it happened.
What did he say when you first brought up, like, so, I don't know if you know this, but I was on a CBS reality show. What was his
It's funny because I do not bring it up. Like, I like, just because I think there's been too many times in my life where somebody's like, you look familiar. And then we go through all these different options. And I'm like, okay, did you watch Kid Nation on CBS like 13 years ago? And they're like, yes, that's where I know you from. But that wasn't the case with Vincent. Vincent, like, I think he was like, we met doing Hamilton, and I feel like he was trying to look for videos of me singing or something on YouTube, which I also really don't endorse. Like, I don't put those up. And so I think he came across Kid Nation in that way. And like one day before we were even dating, he just came up to me and he was like, what is this?
Wow.
Like, So he discovered it on his own, but we didn't watch it until we were able to like watch it together. And it was wonderful.
Kid Nation is like a solid quarantine watch as well. Just, mm-hmm. like, it's one season, knock it out, all on YouTube somehow. No one knows. CBS doesn't seem to care.
God bless the person who wrote it like 9 years ago.
Right? I was like, I cannot believe this all just sits here, because I think we got like DVD copies of the show, which are now kind of obsolete, but like, but I remember like my parents would be so nice and like loan out certain episodes to people to watch, and like we would never get them back. So I'm so grateful that they're all on YouTube, because otherwise I would not be able to rewatch it.
Did you ever get like a wrap gift? Like a Kid Nation jacket or hat? Because I've been searching eBay for months trying to get some wrap gifts.
They had like some merchandise at like the CBS News store in New York, like on 50th and Broadway or something like that. Because I remember I was visiting New York like the next year with my parents, and we walked into the store, and they had like Deal With It hats and like a Kid Nation Bonanza City shirt. My mom still has it, and I'm sure we still have the hat. Oh, but it, like, it's like Kid Nation and there's Deal With It on the back. It was super cool. But I remember that I think they sent us Wii's that Christmas. So
Nintendo Wii.
Oh, Wii.
Nintendo Wii. Sorry. Yeah.
Like, I heard it as like Wii's, like with a
like Z. The Unity Wii.
Yeah. Like, oh, Wii's.
Wait. So they sent you an actual Showdown gift. They didn't give you a choice between video games and the Bible or something.
Right. I think we joked about that even, but we weren't expecting, I don't think, to receive anything from the network or from the show. So it was like a really amazing surprise to get from them. But so, yeah.
You know, you have. Did you perform in the talent show, or was that aired? I don't remember you performing.
I did perform in the talent show. They actually had like little baby like deleted scenes on the website that you could watch, like that weren't actually a part of the episode. And we, of course, we had to sing like non-copyrighted songs.
Right.
So I did America the Beautiful or something lame. Like, I don't, just like, I kind of know the words to that. Let me try and sing that. And so it was fine. Like, I think I just wanted to, I felt probably a pressure because, like, you know, I'm a singer and was practicing that skill of mine at the time. So I was like, okay, might as well, you know, perform in front of my peers, which is really scary.
Okay, maybe, because I was just thinking, I'm like, I don't remember you having a performance, but you're obviously so talented. So like, I'm like, why didn't we see this? Because I know Laurel had that like you know,
yeah,
band that was like, I don't want to perform mm-hmm. the DJs, like, let it out, girl. And then that all went down. So I'm curious, just because you might have this insight, it seems like you're a well-connected gal about Bonanza City. There was a girl, I think her name was Jasmine. She performed mm-hmm. at the talent show, and she had this song that was like, haters don't hate because I keep them in fear. Do you know what song I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
What is that song? Did she make it up?
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, her brother wrote it. I think he remained like one of her writers, because like she went on to like be a singer, songwriter, like musician. Oh. Like she goes by like QT Jazz, like the letters QT and then Jazz.
We've been trying to get intel on that song, because we know people had to sing like, you know, Happy Birthday to You and Amazing Grace, like these free use songs, but then she had this original number and we were like, what is this? But I feel like she was one of the kids we didn't really get to meet on the show.
It was her only appearance, really, like speaking appearance on the whole show, but oh my, it made such an impact.
We sing that all the time.
That's awesome. I've never heard that before. That makes me so happy, because like, yeah, she killed it.
I would love a Kid Nation soundtrack that's just you all singing royalty-free songs from the 1800s, and then you have like Eric's piano ballads, and
yes,
amazing 90s R&B. So it's just amazing.
I love this idea. Let's do it. I love it.
So is there anything, I guess, in terms of like, because you just recently watched the show, and I feel like the easy take on Kid Nation is like, look at these kids acting like brats and they're gonna die, and why would their parents let them do, like, it's looked at in this kind of like, how did this get made sort of way. I guess watching it back now as an adult versus maybe watching it when it was released when you were younger, like, is there any like, I guess, truth or things you'd want people to know about Kid Nation? Because I think something we've heard from other kids was like, they never really felt in danger or this or that, or like they felt pretty accurately portrayed. So I'm just curious if like, if you echo those feelings, or if you thought things were maybe different than experience it versus what you saw on TV, or just any general like recaps of like, this isn't maybe what you saw, or it was what you saw.
For sure. I wish I would have watched it even more recently now, because I like, that's such a good question. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is I remember hearing in your interview with Laurel about her addressing like the Taylor drama of the show.
Yeah.
And I have to agree, because like, especially now 13 years, like we're all in our 20s now, which is wild to think about. But it's crazy to watch someone be depicted like that when they're, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even, and honestly, even Greg, like, you know, 15 is still a baby. Like, it's just like, you're just now entering the, like, your high school very formative years. That's a really awkward time for a young man, I think, to like be featured like that on a show. And so like, I think I learned a lot about reality television while filming it, and also while watching it and like watching it again, you know, and seeing like what they decided to focus on, because like, there were so many amazing moments that they chose not to air because it doesn't make for interesting TV, to be frank. Like, it's like, I think I talked recently about how we had like the whole meeting in the saloon where they just sat us all down and just basically threw out a political topic and we all had to debate it. And we were in there for like a couple hours, and like, they would throw out like some, like the Republican Party, or like, and like they would, and then somebody would bring up Bush. And so we'd sit there and like debate and discuss, like a lot of Bush. that was the hot topic.
Strong opinions about George W. Bush.
Like, we're 12. But it was really, I think that was so important. And I was sad that they like kind of, you know, elected to not include a lot of that stuff, because it was the material, I think, that really proved that we were very civil actually with each other most of the time. And like, we could coexist, you know, in a town, like we could remove ourselves from a space when we didn't feel like, you know, connected to whatever was going on. And a lot of it was like, I have to say, like very like provoked by producers, you know, like trying to like, coerce, like, for lack of a better word, information out of us. Like, they never like blatantly, you know, said, say this, you know, it was never that. But like,
right.
I remember having a lot of times to make a concerted effort not to answer the question the way I feel like I thought they were trying to get me to answer it, you know, just to like talk smack about another kid. And it's like, they're nine, you know. I think I had that level of understanding at 12. So I think I want to, like, you know, encourage, you know, past, present, future viewers of Kid Nation that, like, those kids all were really, really good to their core. It's really, you know, it sucks that, like, a lot of their, you know, weaker moments were the ones that were highlighted, especially, like, all of freaking Taylor's moments. It sucked to watch, honestly.
It really was illuminating, like, because we didn't know if we would talk to kids or crew, like, after recapping, just because, I don't know, we're like, should we? And then we're like, well, why not? And hearing this sentiment echoed of Taylor and Greg and, like, these kids that were just kind of, honestly, like, ends up being bullied, you know, by this show in certain ways.
Pretty much, yeah.
Relate to real life. Mm-hmm. It really was, like, a reminder, because I think while we recap, like, you know, we'll start talking about the story, right? Because TV is story, and it's like, these kids are having conflict over religion, or these kids are having conflict over whatever, politics. And then you have to remember the keyword is, like, these kids are having conflict over this. And then these kids are having conflict over this. And you're like, I'm ripping, like, we would have to, but it was interesting psychologically, we have to stop ourselves from talking shit about a 10-year-old, because
is that crazy?
The platform is kind of advertised to feel like adult themes. So you really do, it's interesting that you lose yourself a bit, because I think when you step out and are thoughtful, you're like, I shouldn't, I would never want my, like, worst moments as a 10-year-old aired on TV, because I was an absolute asshole maniac.
Which I think is okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But then to further the conversation of, like, I've seen, like, listings online that's like, Taylor's the worst character, F- rating, and it's like, come on, I don't know.
Like, we were recaps from, like, 2007 when it first aired, and there was like a total lack of, like, self-awareness, and it's like, I know you're kind of being ironic and sarcastic, but, like, you know this is being portrayed in a way to make these kids, I mean, there was like 5 or 6 episodes in a row of Taylor the villain.
It was a lot.
Where just from a viewer perspective, it was like, let's move on. Let's do something else.
No, I completely agree. I felt, like, oversaturated with that information about her. I was like, oh, this is a lot. Like, especially, like, and of course she's going to start, you know, rejecting people because they're like, they keep harping on her and applying pressure. And she's so young, you know, like, and so I think hearing Laurel's, you know, sentiments about it all, I was like, she's absolutely right. You know, that's just, it's too much for someone that age, and to expect them to operate, you know, in this very adult, you know, kind of dystopia they've created for us. Like, it was too much.
I think that's a good thing to echo, especially in these conversations, for any new watchers of Kid Nation, or even old watchers that need a fresh perspective on this, because I think we're in a very changing environment and world, and I think that era of kind of meme TV is, like, it's kind of dissipating a little bit. Now we have Queer Eye, now we have this, like, uplifting stuff. It'd be interesting to see what, like, a modern Kid Nation would even be like, because I don't think they would go about it in such a more, like, cutthroat, nasty sort of way.
Well, I don't think you even can, because, like you mentioned, like, the way we treat them, or the way the media treats people, these celebrities these days, has completely changed in just, like, the last 3 years. Like, the way we think about how the media portrayed Britney Spears or Amanda Bynes, or really anybody, just, like, even 5 years ago, was like, they're a joke. They have a mental illness.
Or cancel.
Yeah.
Like, cancel culture.
Yeah.
Now I think it's in a more, like, let's learn, let's reform. Because I think it is interesting to watch these kids have conversations on topics that a lot of the time, I think some kids agree, that are, like, usually trickled down from their parents, usually. Who has their own, like, opinions on, like, war in the Middle East. Like, that's interesting. And I think, too, if you're an adult who's maybe, like, a Taylor-esque character who has catchphrases, like, deal with it, who I hope she got, like, royalties off of that catchphrase.
Right?
But like, if you're an adult, we're also like in deep into rewatching The Hills right now. I don't know. Quarantine really shaped our brains into.
I love it.
We're just all over the. We're just thirsty for gossip. I think is also the other part of it. So watching.
Because like also lack of social interactions is just like you don't have your normal people to like essentially, for lack of a better term, talk shit with. So it's like let's fill that void with our reality TV. It's great.
But if like Taylor was an adult with this deal with it, it's like then you go on these media tours and you're like, yeah. I'm the bitch and deal with it and yada yada. Mm-hmm. But when you're 10, like, do you want to be the villain? You didn't have that choice, really. So now it's like,
well, it's just wild. It's like I feel you're thinking back on it. Like I feel like I'm just now coming into my own identity.
You said you're 25, right?
Yeah.
I'm convinced when you're 25 and you start getting hangovers is when your brain starts to like be like, I am an adult. And
yes,
like when your brain stops growing, or I don't
know, growing,
but like, or like forming, developing, I guess, like
for sure.
Because I'm pretty like 25 does feel like a signature year that's like, I don't know, and especially in the United States where I feel like we're definitely children longer.
Yeah, yes, yes, agreed.
So it's interesting to even look back on it as like an 18 year watching as an 18 year old is probably different watching as like now a 25 year old.
Yeah, I mean, I'm twice as old. It's just, you know, wild to think about. I'm like, I'm a different human being. Yes, like, I think Kid Nation was so transformative for me and that it informed me of who I am, really, you know, and like the parts of me that I watched on the show that I still have maintained.
And
I
you're
think
such a great kid on the show. Like, you're just like you're a heartwarming kid on the show, I must say. Like, it was very...
No drama, Morgan, yeah.
No drama. Green people. Also, I liked when I can't remember what it was, but it was, I think, Greg cursing or something, you know, and you, like, were, like, the way you held it down was, like, really cool. Like, I just remember, like, watching it, like, oh, this feels like, you know, like, you weren't taking any shit from him, like, and it felt, and it didn't feel like, hey, can you, you're, like, you need to stop, there's 9-year-olds, like.
yeah, I mean, you just, I mean, after a while, I think because we were also friends, to a certain degree.
Oh.
I think I wasn't scared of him. Like, right. He did make me nervous because, like, I never felt like he was going to hurt me. Like, I was like, your words hurt, which sucks, but, like, you will not do anything to me, sir. And so I have to thank my mom, though, for my, you know, general demeanor on the show and, like, trying to, you know, work from a place of kindness because the night before I left on that bus, she just looked at me and she's like, you know what, go have fun. I just need to ask you like to not embarrass or not say anything on camera that will embarrass yourself, our family, or God. And I was like, great. So it, like, that eliminated everything that I probably could have said, you know, that would put me in a very different light. And instead, you know, every time I spoke on camera in like a interview, I think I just, you know, was trying to come from a place of generosity of spirit and, you know, like benefit of the doubt. And I think that really helped me work from that place now, just like a place of empathy and trying to, you know, just give people a few chances to, you know, prove me wrong. So
like,
yeah.
Bonanza City HR department.
Hey, I'll take it. I think that was, you know, I that was a thought that occurred to me while watching the show. I'm like, I wonder how differently these kids would have been portrayed had their mom said the same thing to them. Like, and they follow that advice.
That's a good mama message right there.
Well, I'm sure moms, because reality TV, even in 2007, was still like really in its infancy. Like there wasn't even Target or anything. I'm sure so many moms and dads didn't even think about that. Like, oh, this is going to be a fun little thing. It'll be on TV. The producers aren't going to make my kids look like villains. But your mom was very smart and astute to give you that warning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and mom, like, she just has this, like, natural intuition about the business. That's why she's, like, she makes for, like, the best momager ever. Because, like, she's always just had a very like, particular, like, awareness of reality TV, TV film, the stage, all of those kinds of industries. And especially being a mother, I feel like she was just looking out for me and protecting me. And I knew that there would be a camera in my face with the opportunity of those things being aired for the world to see. So I think, you know, that really encouraged her to give me the most amazing advice right before I went on to do this crazy social experiment of a show.
Wow. I love that. Yeah, I think I'm rounding home with questions. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I mean, we've asked this question to pretty much every kid, I think. I mean, I guess, let's say in 15 years, CVS comes to you and says,
"Whoa,
you want to do a adult nation? We rounded up all the kids, bringing you back to Bonanza." What'd you do?
Wow, I know I'll be a different human then, for sure, just from growth. But I'm inclined to say yes, because I'm inclined to have faith in humans. Like, I mean, humanity right now is letting me down a little bit. Like, the bigotry in our world, you know, like, it's just the fear, like, they're instilling. It just, I think the biggest thing, I'm just worried about the kind of conversations we'd all have, like, in our 30s and 40s, like, that's so wild to think about, because you're a different human, like, you've, like, officially come into your identity, then at some point, you know, you have kids. Yeah. I'm just thinking about all the contributing factors into, like, what would make up, like, mm-hmm. all of us at that age, mm-hmm. and that's a lot, because, like, the 40-year-olds of the world right now are, you know, letting me down a bit.
Yeah.
To be real, but, yeah.
Well, and even, too, there's some things kind of, what's great about, like, being a kid and having kid-like arguments, and I even talk about this in astrology too, is, like, when we're younger, we can just cry when we're upset, and we can just like let it out, and you're supposed to have these mature conversations as you get older, but not everyone really learns how to do that. And I think sometimes there is something to be gained from, like, healthy, just, like, emotional expressing,
for sure,
and not holding it in this, like, grudge kind of or judgy kind of category. So same sentiment, the 40-year-olds are really dropping the ball.
It just makes me so nervous, you know, because, like, I feel like there's definitely more hope for us right now in our 20s, because there's still room for, like, there's still so much room for growth and so much room for change in the positive direction. And especially, I mean, right now, like, the world we're living in, you know, with, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, like, everything, like, is just so in our faces, in our generation's faces. And I feel like when we're in our 40s, like, what will be happening then? Yeah.
Well, I think, like, I was saying this to some friends, I was like, I'm just, like, kind of mad at my parents' generation for, like, not doing so much important work, because this was still all an issue during their youth time period. And now, mm-hmm. I mean, I think, again, this is speaking from, like, a selfish ass place of privilege to be like, fuck, now we all have to do this. Like, we're supposed to be thriving. It's like, well, we can all still thrive and do the work. But I think there is that, like, fear of, like, oh, but when I'm older, am I going to be this disappointment to my, you know, generation?
Right?
Yes, probably.
You know, we will.
Odds are. Odds are.
I mean, it's just, I mean, each generation keeps getting better, though, to be honest. Like, you know, like, my little sister is about to be 21, and her generation impresses me more and more every day, just with, like, their level of tolerance, empathy, and understanding of just human beings, like, you know, like, non-binary, like, all the mm-hmm. wonderful, just accepting notions of their generation gives me hope, because there are definitely some people, even, like, on my end of the spectrum of millennials, that, you know, are not doing that for me. So I'm hoping we do the work and prove them wrong, for sure.
Millennial Kid Nation.
Millennial Kid Nation.
Zoomer Kid Nation.
Or the regular nation is divided. The kid nation is very strong.
I think, yeah, her, I mean, they would kill it. They would absolutely kill Kid Nation.
A lot of TikTok dancing, I would assume, in the new Kid Nation. And, you know,
yes.
Group dance activities, I would
think. Don't you feel like TikTok, though, is such a passing fad. I feel like it's going to, like, come and go.
Okay.
I don't know. I know that might be controversial, but I don't know. I feel like.
I'm of the generation from Vine, back when Vine.
Yes.
And I loved Vine, and I like the idea of TikTok. I'm sure I'll become a big user of it, unless the fad does go away. But there's something about the interface that I'm not in love with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's
of it.
I think what's missing from Vine that TikTok has is that TikTok is owned by the Chinese government, and they've been data mining all of our faces. So I think that gives them an incentive to continue pumping money into that and data mining American children. Doing fun little dances.
Well, when you put it like that, I mean.
Yes, great.
Facial recognition and all that. We're just
one.
Just, you know, the Canadians.
Oh, wait, I have one last question, and I'll let you go.
For sure.
The chicken killing. Were you pro, con, undecided, or where were you on that, like, chicken massacre stance?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have to be so honest in that I've never been like an animal, like obsessed with animals. Like I like my own dog. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm that person. Yeah. But I'm not like, you know, vegan for the reason of for being an animal lover, which I totally, you know, love and respect that. But so I think my 12-year-old brain felt the same way. So I was like, yeah, go ahead. Like, and I think I was really curious about the process too, a little selfishly. So I was there for the second chicken killing. The first one I was too scared to attend. I watched all like the, you know, intense gutting and stuff like that. But the second time I actually like held dead chickens, like, you know, cause we killed like 10 the second time around. So I think it was honestly like a milestone of mine in my life of bravery. So I was like, all right. I got this, like, I could do that farm life for a hot sec, like, I could do it, but.
Yeah, I mean, the trends of the world, we're all trying to move towards that remote farming, organic,
right?
Hunter wellness, you know, experience, so.
I don't blame those humans, like, they are living in a blissful, like, abyss. I just, like, you know, I'm like, what a wonderful, like, way to just kind of, like, escape for a second.
I do envy, like, sometimes just, like, the ignorance is bliss, like, what? I'm chilling with my commune, we have eggs, we're good, and like.
Yeah, they're just, it's just, like, the simplest, you know, things are bringing them joy, like, that's just, it's not something we practice at all anymore, so I admire it.
Well, I'm out of questions. If there's anything you want to, like, end with, anything you're like, I can't believe they didn't ask me, feel free to spill it here.
Or anything you want to promote. I don't know if you have social media or anything. I know Hamilton will return for another.
Hey, people can maybe buy their 2022 tickets.
Right? I'm hoping we get back. I'm just hoping, you know, I'm praying for so many reasons for a vaccine, obviously, because our country is, it's just so, so, so sad. But yeah, I would love to get back to work, and our unemployment runs out at the end of this month. So it's kind of a touch and go situation.
We both work in Hollywood too. So we're definitely, when are we ever getting back on set? Or
praying for that 600 to keep going.
I know. Something, but like, yeah, I guess I would give social media handles, but I actually have been taking a hiatus, especially from Instagram, because the Hamilton fans are so wonderful and in such a huge number, but it got a little overwhelming for me. So I was like, you know, I need to like take a step back. And it's been so healing, I think, during this time to like really like dig into like the activism and dig into, you know, finding what brings my mental health and my joy back to me. And so, and sometimes, you know, that's reading a lot of books and chilling with my boyfriend on the couch. So we're really trying to stay grateful and stay healthy. So yeah.
Ew. Okay. Well, everyone leave Morgan alone. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Oh my God. Yeah. No. Eventually I'll get back on Instagram, and the handle is like mwood 2013, I think. Oh my God. It's been like months since I've been on Instagram.
That's
but
nice.
Yeah.
How does it feel? Like, how does that feel? Is it just weird to like, I feel like sometimes I'm scrolling and I don't even realize I'm scrolling. Do you know what I mean?
I know, right?
Muscle memory just like goes into like opening apps. Was that like a lot of breaking that like hand habit?
Yeah, I just found myself like any free moment I had, I would just like jump on Instagram and I would be looking through the same feed that I looked at about a minute ago, you know? And so I was like, and it was also just giving me anxiety because there's that comparison factor, especially being in the arts, like that you're constantly feeling. And I just felt myself like, I'm like, this is not productive for me. So it's been like incredibly cleansing, to be honest. Like I have no idea when I'll get back, but I really enjoy like, you know, hearing from people who actually want to reach out. And it's not just because they're seeing something I've put online. Like I just jumped back on Facebook, like just, but that's only because I wanted to like get more involved with Black Lives Matter. But like, if it weren't for that, I'd be off of my computer, my phone, and it's really great. Like what is that like weekly report on your phones where it can tell you how much screen time?
Yeah,
like, oh, it's been awesome. I'm like, yes, like I'm down.
It's gone down probably like 80%, I would assume.
Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
Every week, it's scary.
I'm going up.
You do not want to know.
It's because of the Zoom calls though, right? It's the Zoom calls. It has to be, or like just FaceTimes with like family. I feel like that's what's keeping my time up.
I think it's just
me scrolling. Just diving into the dark abyss that is Twitter.
And that's okay. That's okay. Do you know?
We're all healing and self self-soothing in different ways.
Well, we'll see how
maybe we'll take a social break after we're done posting Kid Nation Nation.
Maybe. Yeah,
we
might
won't.
Be good.
But maybe
we won't.
Well, here, let me shout it out because you did. Shout out to Black Lives Matter. Everyone should donate to their local chapter.
Yes.
Yeah. Come out. Here, here in LA, BLM LA, I think is all their handles. So.
Yes, 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 please.
Send your social media over there and do something. But it was great to meet you. Thank you so much, Morgan.
Thank you, guys. This was like such an interesting conversation. We covered so many topics. I loved it so much.
We're all over the place. So
thank you so much. This was awesome.
Thank you, guys.